Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
The Lord really taught me. He used wise counselors to talk about this idea of believing the best about your spouse.
Dr. Heather Holloman on Focus on the Family Minute, sharing how change in her marriage began with her.
And that's rooted obviously in scripture, but it comes from the social science research of just how people grow, how people change. No one wants to be in an environment where you're constantly being criticized or judged. So the first thing that changed in my marriage was believing the best about Ashley, meaning the things that he's doing for a reason. I don't need to control him or nag him. So I started complimenting him. I started, anytime he did anything, I would make sure I was admiring and respecting him. And was that like the first year of our, after the first year, that changed everything.
Hear more from Heather and her husband Ashley about improving communication with your spouse at familyminute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Frankel family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
From Paso Robles wineries to Atascadero's storefronts, the right display transforms your property into a holiday destination. Guests stay longer, spend more, and share in the experience. The holidays aren't just about light. They're about memories those lights create for your guests. I'm Aaron King with Slow Holiday Lights. We provide a red carpet holiday service so your business can shine without the stress. We handle everything you need to make this holiday season the most memorable yet. This season, roll out the red carpet for your guests and make your business the place that everyone remembers. Look us up at Slow Holiday Lights. That's Slow Holiday Lights.
Good afternoon and welcome to Free Talk California with Susanna Luthi on AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM. Phone lines are open at 238-5775, 238-KPRL. California Free Talk is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials. And now, Free Talk California on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi. Just a little warning. I had a sleep-deprived night last night with my one-and-a-half-year-old who is suffering through teething. So anyway, I'm a little slow on the uptake today and always need more coffee. So anyway, that's my little warning. I also want to take the opportunity to wish my father, Eric Luthi, a happy birthday. Today is his birthday. And if you know him, please shoot him a text and wish him many happy returns. My father is a quietly great man. He has sacrificed for us throughout my lifetime. And I never even knew it was sacrifice until I was older because he never complains. Never explains, kind of like the Queen of England used to say, and keeps a wonderful sense of humor and an even keel through all circumstances, all trials, all the time. So thank you, Dad, for all you do for our family, and we love you. All right, so we have a lot to cover today. I am not going to have a guest on today as a result. And we are going to kind of wend our way through a lot of different topics. So let's just get started. The first thing I want to note is, because I was going to start with Supreme Court news anyway, this is U.S. Supreme Court, not California Supreme Court. But this really does affect California. So today is one of the days when I was a DC courts reporter, I used to have to keep refreshing the Supreme Court docket online on Mondays, because it's the day when they decide which cases to decline or to accept, and it's always a big day. So today they agreed to hear a case challenging the elimination by New York, similar to California's, of all religious exemptions from vaccine mandates for kids going to school. So, obviously, California has the same mandate and the same elimination of religious exemption ability to not take all or not administer our kids all the vaccines, including Hep B and the MMR combo vaccine, which people have questioned. And so, yes, we will see what they say. This is a very big deal. I actually did not expect this kind of action so early, because I've been only following the California legal battles, which have been revived, but have been going for a long time. So anyway, that's a very big deal. The other U.S. Supreme Court case, which I just learned about, and I think it is really worth watching, is currently in the argument phase, or the briefing phase. It has not yet reached arguments, but it is a case involving a New Jersey mother who actually is from Chatham, New Jersey, a town that I lived in once as a college student interning in New York City. So I know this little town, or was a little town. I have not been there in about 20 years. So anyway, she this was years ago. I believe it was 2017. She decided to object when her son, who was going to just the public middle school, came home and said that he had been basically forced to watch this indoctrination video on Islam that concluded with, "May God help us all find the true faith, Islam." So this video that her son had to watch as part of a mandatory class in world cultures and geography basically presented all Islamic faith tenets as fact. And needless to say, no other faith, notably Christianity and Judaism, were represented in this way. There was no other indoctrination, quote unquote, for Christianity or Judaism. It was only for Islam. So the video that they were forced to watch included the following points. Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the last and final messenger of God. God gave him the noble Quran. What is the noble Quran? Divine revelation sent to Muhammad, the last prophet of Allah, a perfect guide for humanity. The noble Quran is guidance, mercy, and blessing for all mankind. The noble Quran is without any doubt an eloquent guide from Allah. The beautiful Quran is guidance for the wise and sensible. Islam is a shining beacon against the darkness of repression, segregation, intolerance, and racism. And then the last final call for conversion in the video was, "May God help us all find the true faith, Islam." So this mother, whose name is Libby Hilsenrath, decided to object, and she first sued and brought the case to a district court, which is the lowest level federal court. And the court that heard the case said that, sided with the school district, basically saying that there was a new test when it came to whether state public institutions like public schools could make any policy regarding the establishment of religion. And known as the Establishment Clause, we know it is, you know, by rote now of the separation of church and state, state policy clause of the Constitution. And the courts kind of did a little little hoop jumping to say that this was a permitted instruction in the middle school, saying that courts have to refer to historical practices and understandings before they can make a decision whether a message like this violated separation of religion and government, public funding. And these lower court decisions, according to the attorneys for the mother who has been fighting this for the last 7 years, said that, you know, this is inconsistent with pretty much every Supreme Court opinion that have given parents and students broad protection from anything that might be seen as even subtle coercion of learning about a religion. So anyway, this case is now moving. You know, as I said, it's in the briefing stage in the Supreme Court, so I'm going to be watching it because we're kind of seeing more and more, particularly in California. My former colleague Chuck Ross spoke to this, but in California, with the very powerful advocacy of pro-Islamic groups affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood, like CARE California, really, really pushing for Islamic perspectives, is what they say, to fight racism, etc., and Islamophobia, but really pushing Islam in schools. And not just CARE, but many affiliated groups, which are well funded by major dark money institutions and democratic money institutions like the Tides Foundation, really came out of the woodwork after October 7th, after the October 7th Israel attacks, and were really pushing coordinated anti-Israel, very pro Islamic government talking points about Israel, and pushing supposedly grassroots protests in public schools through teachers' unions and in student action. So this is kind of hitting our state, and it will be interesting to watch that. And speaking of, just one more note on all of this, as you all know, I am Catholic and been watching this Pope, of whom I was, for whose pontificate I was very optimistic, and he said something very, very disappointing. That was it last week, speaking to reporters on his flight back from Lebanon, where he was welcomed with open arms by Hezbollah leaders, and did not really speak to that. But he said that, quote, "One of the great lessons that Lebanon can teach to the world is showing a land where Islam and Christianity are both respected, and that there is a possibility to live together, to be friends." He said that Lebanon can offer us Americans, as well as Europe, a lesson in dialogue and friendship between Christians and Muslims. And when a reporter asked him what he would tell Catholics in Europe who really see Islam as a threat to the West Christian identity, you know, churches are being converted into mosques, Islam is growing rapidly, there are pockets of Europe which are under Sharia law, Pope Leo responded, quote, "In Europe, fears are present, but often generated by people who are against immigration and trying to keep out people who may be from another country, another religion, another race. I would say that we all need to work together. All of the conversations that I had during my time, both in Turkey and in Lebanon, including with many Muslims, were concentrated on the topic of peace and respect for people of different religions. One of the values of this trip is precisely to raise the world's attention to the possibility that dialogue and friendship between Muslims and Christians is possible." It's really interesting. I was just reading a volume in, I'm blanking on his name, The History of Christendom. It's a 6-volume tome. And I finished the volume where Muhammad emerged, created this religion, and immediately began his epic conquest, sweeping across once Christian countries in North Africa and the Middle East, and then into Europe, subjugating Spain for hundreds and hundreds of years. And the Pope then did not sound like that. The Pope, there's a quote, and I wish I had brought it in. I didn't know I was going to speak to this today because I had not seen these remarks of Pope Leo yet. But the quote was something about how God must have brought Islam as this punishing force because it was so cruel and so indomitable and just was wiping people out, forcing conversions of Christians to Islam on penalty of death, and just generally wreaking terror that lasted until Christian nations began fighting back through the Crusades. It's interesting. I actually have been to Lebanon. I was there shortly before. I think it was my last overseas trip before COVID. And that's not the Lebanon I saw. The Lebanon I saw was a very shrinking and dwindling Christian minority that was treated as second-class citizens and kind of edged out of the government. The last time Christians were a majority in Lebanon was, I believe, the 1940s. And since then, there have been just a lot of Christians leaving. And then demographically, Muslims have just outbirthed Christians. And then obviously, in the recent decades, there was Hezbollah rising, and Hezbollah has really pushed. There was brutal, brutal civil war that was just, I mean, you can see it in Lebanon. And one thing that I will say is interesting was I spent most of my time in a little Christian corner, Maronite Christian corner of Lebanon. I was hiking in this beautiful valley called the Kadisha Valley, and it was really beautiful. Traveling through the Muslim-dominated areas was a completely different experience. Really felt just how I was treated by the Lebanese men traveling as a single woman, and found myself in some predicaments and that I had didn't kind of put myself on guard of, because I had spent the first part of my trip in the Christian area, which was very gentle and safe. And then also just the look of the country changed. The Muslim parts that I traveled through it just looked like a wasteland, an apocalyptic wasteland. And I will say, throughout history, so Christians and Muslims have had to live together in Lebanon for 1300 years. And in that time, there have been just brutal repercussions for the Christians. So there's still a Crusader's castle. The Crusades obviously came to Lebanon. And when the Crusades were, the Western Crusades were pushed back, Christians were really punished and killed by the Muslims after the retreat of the Crusaders. And then there were massacres of Christians in the 1800s. And then throughout the 20th century, as we saw the dwindling of Christians into a minority, they just basically became second class citizens. A system that is pretty much replicated throughout the Middle East for Christian societies, which are rapidly dwindling, even though they're entrenched thousands and thousands of years, whether we're talking about the Copts, which is a community I knew well in Egypt when I was there 20 years ago. I worked with Copts, and they also are second-class citizens, not allowed to really do much, and definitely not allowed to make any kind of fuss, because they will be in trouble. And, you know, God forbid you convert from Islam to Christianity, you will probably be killed. That was something that I observed and heard about firsthand when I was in Egypt. So anyway, that was just kind of disappointing. It was very deeply disappointing from the Pope. And I wonder if there are any other Catholics, although you don't have to be a Catholic to weigh in on this, because obviously it's a mounting challenge to Christianity again. You know, we kind of lived in the wake of the Ottoman Empire. Crusades are a very, very long distant memory. And we now live in a very pluralistic society where everyone really prizes, and for good reason, freedom of religion. And it is interesting with those values coming up against a growing Muslim population, not just in Europe, but here, and pockets of Sharia law, places like Dearborn, Michigan, which are now majority Muslim, and where citizens who are not Muslim are told that they don't belong there if they're going to criticize Islam. Big pockets in Texas, you know, and obviously growing political sway by groups like CARE, as we talked about with my former colleague. So it will be really interesting to see where this all goes. So anyway, enough about that. When we return from these messages, we will get back to California. So stay with us. You're listening to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi. Don't go anywhere.
Ace Auto Care in Atascadero, the best price and service on brakes, tires, smog checks, oil changes, and more. Ace Auto Care, all your vehicle needs, everything you want.
Fox News, I'm Tom Rigotti. President Trump has announced a $12 billion aid package for U.S. farmers who have struggled to sell their crops while getting hit by rising costs.
This relief will provide much needed certainty to farmers as they get this year's harvest to market and look ahead to next year's crops. And it'll help them continue their efforts to lower food prices.
It's part of the push for easing inflation and affordability concerns for Americans. Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem delivering bonus checks to TSA employees in Tampa, Florida today. Noem says it's a way of thanking them for working during the record-long government shutdown.
I'm so proud of them, and I'm proud of everyone in leadership who inspired them to continue to do their jobs and to do them well. Because of that hard work, I'm here to present each of them that are behind me, and many, many more will also receive the $10,000 bonus checks.
America's listening to Fox News.
This Friday, 5 to 9 p.m., Atascadero's Sunken Gardens and the entire downtown will be transformed into a magical winter wonderland with over 70 tons of snow, a massive snow slide, a snow pile area, Joe's Little Train, a bungee jump, face painting, along with live music and dance performances, and of course, a special visit by Santa. Shop downtown merchants and over 50 craft and food vendors. Winter Wonderland, this Friday, 5 to 9 p.m. Details at visitatascadero.com.
Need inspiration for holiday gifts? Let the Blenders be your Santa's helper this season. From beautiful scarves, cozy sweaters, jackets, vests, lovely handbags, wallets, and fantastic accessories, gift certificates available too. Thank you for your support of our local businesses. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram for holiday hours. Merry Christmas and happy holidays from the Blenders, 538 12th Street, downtown Paso Robles.
Thank you. Welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi. So, one story that is, I think, really going to pick up and affect California politics is just the rapid collapse of Los Angeles, which has happened so quickly. When I lived in LA, when was that? It was over 10 years ago now. But that wasn't that long ago. It was downtown was thriving, and there was kind of no sense that it was on the brink of some sort of collapse. But basically, Hollywood is in a downward spiral, which now, you know, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal are pointing out. Jobs are just disappearing, and people who are kind of industry veterans are struggling to find work and saying that they're going to have to end up in a big box store. It is with this collapse, obviously, comes basically the entire the collapse of Hollywood's middle class. And that reverberates throughout Los Angeles because, as anyone who lives there may know, it is an industry town still. Obviously, there are lots of jobs outside of it, but Hollywood was really the engine that kept everything going. So it's, anyway, it's really something I was just looking at. It was kind of shocking how quickly the collapse has happened. So just in terms of some basic statistics, the occupancy rate of sound stages for studio productions in Los Angeles went from, just in 2020, well over 90% down to just over 60% this year. Hollywood writers are reporting a huge drop in earnings. Actors are reporting a huge drop in earnings. Hours worked by anyone in the entertainment world has just dropped precipitously. And every kind of LA-based writer that I follow says that this is all anyone is talking about. And it will be interesting to see what happens to California if this trend continues. And it does not seem, maybe someone else can call in and give another take. I know we don't care very much for LA here, but it will be interesting to see. I mean, it doesn't seem possible that this trend can reverse, particularly with, you know, is anyone going to movies anymore? Hollywood does feel very stale, very dead. I haven't been excited about a new movie in a very, very long time. And when I do go to a movie, actually the last movies we went to were all done by that new conservative studio that put out the movie about human trafficking and the movie about Ronald Reagan. And then we saw Matt Walsh's movie. So we weren't really watching the Hollywood Fair, which seems to just be another remake of some Marvel movie. You know, how boring is that? The cartoons are boring and preachy. You know, nothing is as exciting coming out of Hollywood. So the comparison I keep thinking about is Detroit, because I went to school in Michigan. I went to Hillsdale College, as many of you know. And Detroit was just kind of the sad place. And you could kind of see remnants of its former glory. It was once a major manufacturing hub. It was once one of the top cities in the United States. And there is nothing to see there. Now, there's nothing to do unless you went to a ball game, and you had to be pretty careful about where you parked and the time of day you went. So anyway, you know, when Detroit collapsed, Michigan kind of collapsed too. Like I said, we still have Silicon Valley, whatever they're pushing. They are still making money there, but again, it's the AI economy seems pretty fake and bubbly. And I can't really think of anything really great about Silicon Valley. So anyway, it just feels like, along with our poor governance, there will be other collapses, and all of this is happening obviously as Gavin Newsom is running what Victor Davis Hanson calls a very nihilistic campaign for president, where he can't run on anything that he's done in California, because I think by all barometers in every part of the state, life is worse than when he took office. Life is also much more expensive. Electricity has soared under his watch, thanks directly to his policies. Wildfires have decimated communities, and the state has actively seemed to prevent people from reclaiming their old homes and rebuilding. Everything feels impossible. And on top of that, we just have the just noticeable decline in cities, which is, as I mentioned earlier, you know, I lived in LA not that long ago, and it was a great city. And I also lived in San Francisco a little longer ago. And, you know, that I wouldn't say it wasn't declining when I lived there, but the decline since I left is very palpable. So anyway, I do feel like our state is at a crossroads, and it is up to us to decide where it goes, because it's the hardworking people who care about the state, for whom the state has been our home for generations in many cases. It's kind of up to us. Obviously, our politicians are not going to save us. So anyway, that happy note. Speaking of which, I want to touch base, because I got to kind of skim this last week, but the Palisades fire seems to be the thing that could take Gavin Newsom down, as well as some of the very corrupt, the corrupt governance of Los Angeles. So anyway, I mentioned this again, the former reality TV show Spencer Pratt seems to be responsible for a lot of this stuff coming to light about how Gavin Newsom, the fire department leaders, Mayor Karen Bass, and kind of all the managers in between joined together and basically protect one another instead of protecting their citizens. If you remember, that fire, which was not even a year ago, was immediately touted as a once-in-a-lifetime event, something that could not have been contained, could not have been prevented, could not have been helped because of climate change. No one could have seen the windstorm. No one could have foreseen any of this stuff, even though, as we all know, Santa Ana winds and its lore and the burning of Los Angeles, which happens over and over and over again, is really baked into Southern California lore. It's just a fact of life. So anyway, what is really kind of coming out through legal documents is that the sheer catastrophic level of damage was kind of manufactured by the leadership class because of all the various missteps that they are responsible for and claiming that they're not responsible for. So anyway, there's a lot of evidence, and anyone who has family in Los Angeles or knows anyone who has lost anything should really be watching this. So as I touched on last week, there was a fire before the big Palisades fire on January 1st, and leadership at the time said that that fire had been fully extinguished, and the fire department leadership itself really, really push this line. And then it was found that they had not fully extinguished this fire, and they had not even completed the most basic kind of fundamental mop-up procedure that is expected when you're fighting a wildfire in state parks. It's called cold trailing, where it's just confirmed gone. So anyway, Spencer Pratt released this Topanga State Park manual, which basically had prevented firefighters from making sure that the fire was completely out and using the mop-up materials. They said that they had to avoid certain areas because of sensitive vegetation, which needed to be preserved, and preserving that sensitive vegetation was more important than doing prevention of a potentially devastating fire like the one we saw a few days later. Well, the state parks officials insisted that they were not part of this. They were not part of this decision not to mop up the fire. And then Spencer Pratt found and published photos that proved that they were part of this whole thing, that they were present at the scene of that initial fire that led into the Palisades fire in all likelihood. The fire department, the city, LA City Fire Department, also said that state officials weren't involved. They weren't directing their operations. They weren't stopping them from mopping up the fire. But according to lawsuits, the lawsuits of residents who lost their homes, they're saying that state representatives actually blocked fire crews from doing the work that they were supposed to do to make sure that initial fire was out. Then Gavin Newsom's administration claims that they did not know that there was even a fire prior to the Palisades fire. They knew nothing about this Lockman fire that started on January 1st by an alleged arson. They said that they only found out about it on January 7th when the Palisades fire blew up. But there are documented phone calls. There are phone records, there always are, showing that state officials were told on January 1st about this Lockman fire. And let's go back to that Topanga State Park manual that explicitly said officials or firefighters needed to encourage managed burns and allow fires to go unchecked if extinguishing them and fighting, you know, mopping them up was going to affect so-called sensitive plants. So anyway, there's that. Then obviously remember this huge problem, the fact that there was a massive reservoir right next to the Palisades, and it was empty. And it was empty because officials said that they were waiting to repair a tear in the cover. And they really, really, I mean, they couldn't really defend themselves. This was really interesting. They just kind of tried not to talk about it and tried to say that even if this reservoir would have been filled, it really wouldn't have helped. Well, there were two reservoirs, according to Spencer Pratt in his lawsuit, showing that two reservoirs were allegedly drained just days before the fire. So there was that. And then lastly, and this is really seeming to fall flat now, but this was the big line at the time. This is always Gavin Newsom's line, is that it's all the fault of climate change, that we really couldn't have done anything because of catastrophic human-driven climate change. Except that that initial Lockman fire was triggered by an arsonist, and obviously Los Angeles burns all the time, and at this point officials were really caught flat-footed and in fact had neglected their duty in a way that had devastating effects, and now they're preventing rebuilding. All right, stay with us. We're going to break for some more messages from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back. You're listening to Free Talk California.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report. Stocks kicking off the new trading week lower, with bond yields rising ahead of the Fed's rate cut decision on Wednesday. Most all of the 11 S&P 500 sectors were lower. However, tech advanced, led by chip makers, with Broadcom leading the charge. Its stock jumped over 2% after the information reported that Microsoft was in talks of moving its custom chips business to Broadcom. Shares of Warner Brothers Discovery rose over 4% after Paramount Skydance launched a hostile bid for the entertainment company. The move coming just days after Warner Brothers struck an agreement with Netflix. Shares of Paramount Skydance rose 7%. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Boeing, and Microsoft. The Dow decliners, Caterpillar, Amgen, and American Express. The Dow falling 216 points. The Nasdaq lower by 32. S&P 500 down 24. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
2025 is wrapping up, and here's the truth. Uncertainty isn't going anywhere. Noble Gold Investments help you protect what you've built with real gold and silver, stuff that holds value when everything else is melting down. This holiday season, the best gift you can give your family? Peace of mind. Don't wait for the next crash to blindside you. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com and get started today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. Don't leave the future to chance. Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals involves risk. Consult your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Lindsay from Cajon's Jewelry Company here. In a world of constant sales, where prices are marked up just to be marked down, Cajon's has always stood apart. We believe in something simple, fair prices every single day. No gimmicks, no games, just honesty and beautiful jewelry. So why are we having a massive inventory clearance sale? Because after years of partnering with incredible designers, it's time for the next chapter. It's time for our designs. Cajon's is creating our own in-house collection, pieces that reflect our heritage, our craftsmanship, our voice. But first, we're clearing the way. December 2nd through the 24th, every piece from our current inventory is being liquidated. Yes, liquidated. Not marked up, not fake discounted, truly reduced. As a heartfelt thank you to the customers and community who have supported us for generations. This is your moment to own something extraordinary at discounts we will never offer again. Come see us December 2nd through Christmas Eve. Cajon's Jewelry Company, where integrity shines, and now so do the savings.
Hi, welcome back to Free Talk California. I'm Susanna Luthi, and we will wrap up our hour. So when it comes to wondering, because obviously we live in California and the leadership class has not had accountability for years and years and years, and it often seems that they never will, I will note, and maybe you've heard of this, there is a U.S. Senate investigation going on into the Palisades fire. Just last month, they invited a whole lot of residents who had lost everything to come in and say their piece, say things that they're really not allowed to say here, or they're allowed to say here, but it doesn't get them anywhere. And they just told about everything, talked about the empty fire hydrants, the failed fire hydrants, the fire crews that never came back to help their homes or didn't come. And I will note, because I am a big fan of our firefighters and know what they were up against, I did a lot of reporting on this at the time, and they were just really not, they were not supported and not backed. And there is a whole lot of other stuff that, you know, I kind of got off record by former and current firefighters who just didn't really want to talk because of the whole politics problem and the fear that they could lose their jobs. But the whole, you know, the fire department itself had really been hollowed out, really, you know, starting with the COVID vaccines, but also diversity mandates and promoting really the push to promote especially women who may not have been qualified to be on fire crews, and just maybe not be strong enough to be on fire crews. There were just a whole lot of systemic issues going on. And the firefighters themselves were so overwhelmed by the time the fire got really out of control. And that was the leadership's fault. Absolutely. Then obviously bureaucrats have not had their back. Remember all the press that Newsom and Karen Bass did when Donald Trump came and he met with residents and said, you know, we're going to help you build. How is the city going to help you build? And Karen Bass made a whole lot of platitudes about how it needed to be safe before people could build. And the upshot of all of that has been that, yeah, people haven't been able to build. And when they have, it's prohibitively expensive. Who can afford that? So anyway, we'll see what comes out of the investigation in the U.S. Senate. I will say that Karen Bass's records have been called for by the senators who are leading it. Those senators are Rick Scott from Florida and Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. Ron Johnson has a pretty good track record of his investigations. And then they have subpoenaed whistleblower letters about the whole review by the fire department of what happened. It was interesting. Gavin Newsom happened to be in Washington at the time of these hearings, and he did not have anything to do with them. So, shocking. Shocking. All right. So, speaking of corruption, I think we should just always keep tabs on the latest of what's happening, both with the former chief of staff of Gavin Newsom, who's been indicted. Obviously, we talked about that last week, and people involved are flipping, but that scandal does involve the whole inner circle of Gavin Newsom. So while he is saying it was such a surprise that his former chief of staff was misspending and doing all of this shady stuff, my former colleague Andrew Kerr noted that the whole investigation that caught Dana Williamson was directly having to do with a lawsuit of a company. And California's prosecution of this company, Activision Blizzard, for alleged sexual harassment, and then how that case kind of mysteriously got settled in a very favorable way for that company. And that's what kind of piqued the interest of federal investigators. And so where might that go, and what else might be turned over? We will see. But the other person to watch, obviously, is our Attorney General, Rob Bonta. Javier Becerra is our former Attorney General, who is now running for governor. But Rob Bonta is we've discussed this. You know, he's raised eyebrows because he spent nearly $500,000 in campaign funds on a law firm to kind of protect himself, protect something, aid in the investigation, apparently, or aid in the whole process around the indictment of Oakland's former mayor, Shang Tao, and her relationship with this very prominent family that is very tight with Rob Bonta and his wife, the Duongs. So anyway, there's a little more on the Rob Bonta front, and it centers on his chief of staff for the California Department of Justice, which is supposedly our top justice institution in our state. His chief of staff's name is Viviana Becerra, and she is basically in charge of managing the California Department of Justice for Mr. Bonta. She's his chief of staff. And that is her official job, but she is also part and parcel of Mr. Bonta's whole political apparatus. And there were some campaign finance filings that showed that she is very much part of not just running our state department, state justice department, but also very much part of his political world. So in 2022, Rob Bonta's campaign committee paid her, Ms. Becerra, who is runs the Justice Department as its chief of staff, $50,000 for campaign consultants. So this is a very large expense, and it is interesting that she was moonlighting as that she had to do with political consultants for his campaign when she was actively the chief of staff for the attorney general. So anyway, that isn't all. She's collected nearly $64,000 since 2019. In addition to the big $50,000 lump sum, she collected smaller payments in 2019 and 2020. And the explanations for this money included everything from office expenses for the campaign, not the Justice Department, travel and consulting fees. So this is again very notable and just shows how California's leadership and political and the leadership's political interests are very tightly knit. Technically, our state law does allow people who are being paid by taxpayers, such as Ms. Becerra, to work on the political side, but it has to be on their own time. And obviously, in the state where everything is run by one party, it's really hard to keep, you know, anyone with any watchdog. It's hard to keep tabs on that and to give watchdogs any kind of teeth to actually crack down on anything like that. So just know that while your taxes are paying for one of the most powerful behind the scenes public officials, she was also working on the political side and earning quite a bit of money to do it. All right, that's all we have for today. Thanks so much for joining. We will see you next week. Good luck with all the holiday preparations, Christmas preparations in the meantime, and take care. Talk to you soon.
Free Talk California is brought to you by A-Town Diner in Atascadero on El Camino Real. Now open for dinner every night. Ask about the daily specials.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's